Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends, as we begin another week together. May I ask you to think about your life and your deepest core values for just a moment? Of all the things that are important to you, are there some things that you would call non-negotiables? This means that no matter what happens, you simply cannot compromise on these things. Non-negotiables are things you will not do under any circumstances. You also have some non-negotiable things you will not stop doing under any circumstances. May I ask, do you have some non-negotiable beliefs or moral standards or ethics? These are things that even if your life depended on it, you will not change your position on these non-negotiables. So what are these non-negotiables for you, my friend? Yesterday, I left you standing among 1 million people who, along with Moses, were having an encounter with Almighty God, which they would never forget. This encounter was happening at the foot of Mount Sinai in what is today the Saudi Arabian desert, and it was a multi-sensory encounter. Visually, the mountain appeared like a volcano with smoke billowing from the top, and it was violently trembling. The sound of thunder and the crashes of lightning were almost deafening. What sounded like a trumpet blast was getting louder and louder, piercing their ears. Finally, a voice, a powerful voice, so loud it could be heard over all this other noise, was speaking so every one of these 1 million people could hear the voice clearly in their own language. The voice identified itself as the voice of Almighty God. This was the same voice, the same God which Moses had encountered at the burning bush on this very same mountain several months before. The voice had made these two powerful statements, which left the people stunned, almost breathless. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Exodus 20, verse 2. You shall have no other gods before me. I discussed both those statements with you yesterday, so let's continue with what the people heard next. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 4. So what do you think these people thought about as they heard this statement? Remember, they had grown up in Egypt, which had hundreds of man-made idols, most of which were fabricated of gold-covered wood in the shape of animals or a blend of human and animal forms. Also, Egyptians worshipped the sun, moon, and stars. They even worshipped the Pharaoh as a god, and images of him were everywhere. The Hebrew slaves were very familiar with Egyptian worship, but now, at Mount Sinai, God was drawing a clear line of demarcation. No more. Idolatry was an abomination to the one true living God. God was making it clear that He alone was worthy of worship, and worship of anything or anyone else was a fallacy. It was foolish, ignorant, stupid for people to bow down in worship of something people had fabricated with their own hands, especially something lifeless which needed maintenance, like occasionally painting or gold touch-up. These Hebrews stood at a crossroads, a major decision. What or who would they worship as God, and why? Did you notice God said, I am a jealous God? Have you ever thought about holy God being jealous? What does that mean? It means the God who created you and keeps you alive every breath, every heartbeat, every moment. That God wants and deserves your worship, your love, your gratitude for life. When you give your priority worship, admiration, adoration, highest love to something or someone else, the God who created you and is sustaining your life is grieved that you can be so wrong, so foolish, so confused. In fact, God said to the prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isaiah 42, verse 8. And the prophet Jeremiah spent several chapters bringing God's truth about idol worship to the people in Jeremiah chapters 2, 5, 7, and especially 10. Idolatry is a very big deal to God, my friends, because it destroys lives and it breaks any relationship you might think you have with God. But let's be careful that we don't limit idolatry to bowing down in front of a statue. Idolatry is anything or anyone that we idolize, placing that thing or person as more important than God in our life. Because idolatry is like a cancer that destroys lives and marriages and families and communities and nations. That voice of God made a very powerful statement to those 1 million Hebrews at Mount Sinai. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, bringing upon the children the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Now, wait a moment. That almost sounds like God will hold children accountable for the sins of their parents, doesn't it? But we know that is not true. We know that each person stands accountable before holy God for their own life, not for anyone else's life. Hebrews 9:27. So what could this mean? My friends, each of our lives casts a shadow on those who live close to us, especially our children. The sins of the parents have profound influence and impact on their children. Just ask the children of alcoholic parents, or adulterous parents, or drug-addicted parents, or absentee parents, or abusive parents. The wickedness and dysfunction behavior of parents have profound effects on the lives of their children who grow up in that evil and dysfunction. Conversely, children who grow up with God-honoring parents who love each other, respect each other, seek to honor God in all things, oh my, those kids grow up blessed and understanding God's design for a healthy family. The best book I've ever read describing this is The Most Important Place on Earth, What a Christian Home Looks Like and How to Build One by Robert Wolgemuth. But before we move on, let me ask you about reverse generational influence. Have you noticed how destructive the behavior of rebellious children can be on parents? When the kids are younger teens and seem intent on rebelling against all wise instruction and every boundary their parents have put in place, have you noticed how destructive that can be to the family and how painful to the parents who are trying to raise their kids in a God-honoring home? Perhaps you know, as I do, several adults in their 60s and older who deeply grieve the selfish, self-destructive choices of their adult children who reject the efforts of their parents to point them to God's truth and God's ways. Oh, the pain I see in the hearts and lives of these dear folks as they enter their senior years estranged from their grandchildren because their adult children are making such poor life and parenting choices that are actually putting the grandchildren in danger. In these cases, the sins of the children are bringing great pain into the lives of their older parents and their younger kids. Now, friends, do you see the direct involvement of the evil kingdom of Satan attempting to tear families apart? That is why God places such a high priority on God-honoring family structure. Finally, today, let's see what God said next to these 1 million people at Mount Sinai. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Exodus 20, verse 7. God's names are holy and majestic. Each of them have great significance. They are each and all to be revered and used with profound respect. Misuse of God's name is blasphemy. It is mocking God, and God will bring justice judgment on those who mock his holiness through defilement of his name. So let's pause right here, friends. We don't know how long it took God to speak these 10 commandments, but I imagine God spoke slowly, pausing for an extended time between each statement so the people could absorb what God had said, think about it, analyze it, and understand how to adjust their lives to come into personal alignment with each God statement. The people knew each of these statements would call them to radical lifestyle changes immediately. They also understood that their lives depended on their obedience of God. So let's pause and ponder along with them. I must ask us, how is your life and mine either aligned or in discord with each of God's statements? First, do I have any God other than Almighty God? Do I honor anything, value anything, worship anything or anyone more than Almighty Holy God? Do I understand how jealous God is that my worship be directed to Him alone? Second, if you are married and have children, how have your sins affected your children? How have their sins affected you? What is God saying to you and me about this? Third, have I ever misused the name of God? How about the name Jesus? God invited these 1 million people, and He invites us to consider what a living relationship with God is like in practical reality, day by day, hour by hour, wherever you live in the world. So here's a worship song to help us ponder this type of holy living which honors the only holy God.